Well, here we are once again. We're still thinking about grace, and this time we're thinking about grace, time, and place. And this is session number 40 in volume number 6. And our scripture is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And in chapter 2 there, Luke says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And that is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, from the New International Version. And as you know, we've been talking about grace, and each time I've been saying that when grace blesses mankind, when God blesses mankind, it is an act of grace. And grace, when applied to the believer, reaches far beyond the common grace experienced by all people. And remember, the common graces are the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The sun comes up in the east, sets in the west. Everybody enjoys that. Gravity, everybody enjoys gravity. Nobody flies off the planet. So there are common gifts and grace that God gives to all people. But grace, when applied to believers, reaches far beyond the common grace experienced by all people. And there's a time for grace. You see, God has set times for which he will do certain things. When Jesus was born, God was setting into motion the events which must take place for the age of grace to be ushered in for the salvation of mankind. Now, we actually live right now. Anyone in the sound of my voice that can hear my voice right now, if the Lord has not returned, should somebody listen to this recording, or somebody hear it on the internet after we posted it up there and the Lord would come back. But if the Lord has not come back, then this is the age of grace. This is a time that God has chosen to show grace to mankind. Jesus came at the precise time he was to come. Jesus was tempted, just as each of us, and yet did not sin during his time as a man. Never sinned. But when he was here as a man, he was tempted just like all of us are. He had all the same things thrown at him, but he resisted missing the mark, falling short, which is what sin is. You see, so these events in his life permitted him to be the only person who could defeat the devil and rightfully restore both the relationship of God the man and allow man to again have dominion over the earth, you see, as it was at first. That was once the case. Mankind had dominion over the earth. And then, as we know, Satan deceived man, and man basically just gave it away. Out of deception, but nevertheless went along with it and gave it away. Jesus came back to restore it. That's the whole purpose in the baby in Bethlehem being born that we know as Jesus the Christ. Now, please note that while the time had arrived for Jesus to be born, it was ungodly men who God used to bring about the fulfilling of what had been foretold hundreds of years before. What am I saying here? I'm saying that when this decree went out from Caesar Augustus, they were not living in the town, you see, where the baby was to be born. They were in Nazareth. So they had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to the city of David, which was Bethlehem. Bethlehem, by the way, means house of bread. They had to go there for the Savior to be born. So God actually knew ahead of time and used people who were not believers to still bring about His plan. So many people who don't believe in God think they're so independent of God when in fact they may be actually helping God's plan to flourish. And I'm sure that Caesar had no concept that by calling for that, and these are all, these just seem so natural things. Okay, they wanted to take a census so they could tax everybody. And so the way they did it was everybody had to go back to where they had started and where their whole family was. It'd be a great time for a family reunion. So they all went back there. But these were events that I'm sure that the secular people who had no belief in God, certainly not the God that we understand is God. All they may have believed in 20 or 30 gods. But they didn't know the God that we know. They didn't know the Creator. So these people who were in power, that everybody would look at and revere and say, oh boy, they're the ones that they've got it all sewed up. They're the ones who are in charge. The people that everybody would have looked up to had no concept that they were playing into God's plan in what they were doing. You see, when Jesus was born, it was outside of the normal place for people to abide. It was not because Joseph was poor. You know, sometimes people talk about, oh, they were so poor, and Jesus was born in a stable and placed in a manger. They weren't in there because they were poor. They would have stayed at the Hilton if there had been a Hilton there. There just weren't any rooms. The scripture is clear on that. There just wasn't room in the inn for them to stay. So, it was not because Joseph was poor. He could have stayed anywhere. There just wasn't space. But there was space in the stable. So, but because there was no room for God among the people. Do you see how symbolic this is? There was no room for the Son of God to be born among the people. He was born where there was only Mary and Joseph. And animals. I think it is so significant that Jesus was born away from where all the other people were staying because there was no space for this Son of God among the general population. They were forced by circumstances, again, God's plan, but forced by circumstances for the Son of God to come into the world. You see, by this point, mankind, even after the flood, mankind had drifted far from God. When the time came, the one who would bring and establish grace came when it was time, because it was a set time, and that's when he came. Now, there's a place for grace. Jesus not only came when he was to come, but where he was to come, as had been prophesied. Joseph took Mary from a place, Nazareth, which means separated, to a place called Bethlehem, which means house of bread, as I said, to have the baby Jesus, which means Savior. That's what the name Jesus means, Savior, who was to be what? The bread of life. Take notice that after Mary and Jesus, after she had Jesus, she placed him in a wrap of clothes, and placed him in a manger. Now, what's a manger for? A manger is a place of feeding and nourishment. So here he is. He's in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He is to be the bread of life. And where do they place him? He is placed in a place of feeding and nourishment. I don't think that was an accident. Again, we talk about, you've heard me many times talk about, you just peel the onion and these layers just keep coming up to confirm, you know, two is adequate witness, three is perfect witness, and you can peel through layers and you will get adequate witness, then perfect witness to each of the stories and happenings that you find. But you see, It was a place where it had to happen. It was a place where it had been prophesied to happen. It was a place where everybody was looking to. But, now let's put this in the terms that the average person would think in terms of. You see, size does not matter. And many people think it does. It matters not the size of the town, the barn, or the manger, because when God does a thing, it is always just right. So here we are, in this tiny little town, in this little barn, and there's a little manger, and there is the Son of God. Not mixed in with the general population, but in privacy, away from the rest of the people. You see, mankind does not see things as God sees them. Mankind gives a great deal of attention to the size of something, be it a town, a house, a family, a fortune, or a following that someone may have. God sees these matters as trivial by comparison. God looks at faithfulness. Mary and Joseph both had doubts and concerns, which brought them to the little overcrowded town with no place to stay. It is not hard to imagine what the talk must have been on that night in Bethlehem. Now just place yourself for just a little bit. Now you're in Bethlehem and you're not around the stable. You got there early enough. You got a room. You're maybe in some public area with people and everyone's talking. And perhaps the talk was about big crowds. Maybe big money. Or maybe big taxes. But they were talking. They were talking about how big sizes families had been. They haven't seen each other in a long time. How much this person's worth or how much that person's worth. Or how hard are the taxes going to hit us? Can you imagine all the cares of this world that the general population in Bethlehem at that time, all those cares of the world that they were probably just discussing, just making small talk, talking to one another. The talk was certainly not about a little family in a stable. I cannot imagine that the general population that that little town had swollen to was at all that concerned about a little family in a stable. You see, what the crowd would have spoken of was what they understood, but certainly about, not about, you see, this great event. Maybe the greatest event since creation or the flood. Grace would change everything. From that time and place, grace would change everything. And we live in that age of grace. Now, grace hadn't come yet. And when before Jesus finished his work, grace was not there. Now, he showed grace. He showed grace, which was really a good hint of what was to come. Remember, when the woman was brought to him who had been caught in the act of adultery, he showed grace. As a matter of fact, he showed grace to everybody but the religious leaders. You know, he even showed grace to the Romans. You know, he could have called, as we've all heard, 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he didn't do that. He showed grace. We really can see in all the things that happened from the time that little baby came and was laid in that manger in Bethlehem, how grace was being ushered in, how grace was being brought on the scene, and how people were about to experience a great restoration of man to God. And they were going to see exactly the kinds of things that God wants to see from us today. Jesus went about, and the apostles went about, doing what? Healing, bringing good news, telling people of the kingdom of God, bringing in that kingdom. That's the same thing we're to do. Now, I say this because if you find yourself in a little town, because we have many people who listen over the internet, you may be in a very small town. Bethlehem was a very small town. You may be in a very small house. You may have a very small family. You may have a very small income. You may be thought of as very small. And it's so easy for people to think of themselves as what they're not. I'm sure Bethlehem may have thought that same thing. Although some people who may have been into the scriptures may have said, but one day, the Savior is going to come, and he's going to come right out of Bethlehem, and this is what we know, and this is what the Word says, and other people might have said, well, I don't know if that's what it really means. You see, we're probably experiencing the same things right now over when Jesus will return that people may have discussed when he was going to come to that family and be born in Bethlehem. We are probably experiencing the same kind of doubts, the same kind of debates, the same kind of concerns, the same kind of whatever. Oh, it's too little. I can't do this. I don't know about this. Well, that's above my pay grade. I just don't know. All kinds of excuses. My friends, we who are believers have been left in this world to carry on the work where it was done by the apostles with the same power that Jesus gave us. Now, I want you to notice something. When Jesus came into the world, he did not come as a full-blown adult on a horse with a sword in his hand. Maybe a little different when he comes back. But that's not the way he came. The first time he came as a little baby. Didn't look anything like he was going to look as an adult. And probably didn't act anything like he was going to act like when he was an adult. But when he became an adult, he put away childish things. He was God's seed. And no seed looks like the final plant. No seed looks like the adult plant. And no baby looks like the adult they will become. We cannot continually keep ourselves little in our thinking spiritually, little in our acting spiritually, little in our doing, little in our encouraging. We need to be big encouragers. We need to be big in Jesus. We need to let Jesus be big in us. We need to let the Holy Spirit work strongly through us. Think about it. When Jesus was 12 years old, they found him in the temple talking with the doctors of the law and confounding them with his questions and statements and things that he would make. Have you been a believer for 12 years? Could you confound some of the doctors of the law? He said, well, I haven't had this training or that. No, but you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is all you need. Oh, it's good to get the education. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm telling you that one surrendered believer, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them, can accomplish more than hundreds of people. Remember, God chose a little town, a little family, and a little spot, and a little place in time to bring about the most revolutionary thing since creation. Think about that. That's the gift that we were given. Ushering in grace. Ushering in life to us. The bread of life. We should feed from the baby and what that baby became every day of our lives. Every day rejoicing, having Christmas every day, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace that came in that time and that place. And that's the teaching for this session.